Let's open our Bibles once again to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. And those of you that were here this morning, you remember we talked about marked for blessings. Anybody in here marked? Say, I'm marked for good things. I'm marked for blessings. Hallelujah. I dare you to turn and tell somebody I'm a marked man or I'm a marked woman, whatever the case is. Amen. Don't you men be saying I'm a marked woman. We'll come get you delivered. Okay. You never know in some places anymore. But anyway, not in here. Psalm 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. So notice in this verse, God is telling us that we are blessed and we are favored. We are blessed and we are favored. Somebody shout, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
And I'm highly favored. And I cannot lose. Now that's the attitude you should have when it becomes a revelation to you that you are marked for blessing and you are highly favored by God. The Apostle Paul, and in his letter to the church at Philippi, while he was in prison facing death, wrote in chapter 1, verse 19, I know this shall turn. He said, I know this shall turn. The situation that I'm in right now, I know it will turn in my behalf. And he says, I know it will turn because of your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Message translation says, I'm going to keep the celebration going because I know how this is going to turn out. I'm going to keep the celebration going because I know how this is going to turn out. Through your faithful prayers and the generous response of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything that God wants to do in and through me will be done. They didn't shut me up throwing me in prison. All they did was give me a pulpit. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm His bounty, but I cannot lose. What Paul is saying is there is no defeat in Christ Jesus. He said, if I die, then as far as I'm concerned, they will have helped me fulfill my ultimate goal, which is to be with Christ. He said, for me, to be with Christ is gain. But he said, if I live, and then I will continue to be the messenger of Christ, and I will continue to proclaim that in Him there is no defeat. He said, I cannot lose. What a wonderful outlook on life. When you know that you are blessed, you're marked for blessing, and you know that the favor of God is on your life, then your outlook and your attitude becomes, I cannot lose. Now, to the carnal-minded Christian, that sounds like pride and ego. But it's not. It's simply knowing your covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not talking about being able to defeat the adversary in my own might or my own strength. I don't declare I cannot lose because of my ability. I'm talking about the ability of Christ that is in me, praise God. Without Jesus, I'm no match for the devil. Neither are you. But thank God I'm not without Jesus. Anybody in here without Jesus? We can solve that right now. Amen. I'd be the first to say, without Him, I'm nothing. I am nothing without Him. But about 33 years ago, I got Him. And with Him, I can do all things. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? There's no defeat in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I cannot lose. Whether I'm alive or dead, I cannot lose. He believes that God can turn every negative situation in his life into something positive. You throw him in prison, he turns the prison into a church. They didn't shut him up. He kept preaching in there just like he was a free man in the street. In fact, he preached so much, he got every prisoner preaching. Everybody in the jail went to preaching. And Paul said, some of them are not doing it for the right motives, but I don't care, at least the name of Christ is being proclaimed in this place. They even got guards saved. Hallelujah. They didn't shut the man up. As far as he was concerned, I will continue to celebrate no matter what my circumstances are because I know I'm marked for blessing and I know I'm favored by God and I cannot lose. Hallelujah. Paul was confident that no matter what he went through, God was on his side. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he writes that statement and says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Message translation says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how could we possibly lose? With God on our side. And then he goes on to say in verse 33 in the Message translation, and who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? You just don't mess with God's people. God is not going to just sit back and let the devil destroy your life. He is a good father. I tell you, I have two daughters. They're both grown, 34, 33 years old, blessed me with five grandchildren. And, I'm a spiritual man. I'm a godly man. I consider myself to be a holy man. But you mess with my kids and you'll find out I'm not totally sanctified. I might hurt you. Or do my best to try. You don't mess with my kids. No, you don't mess with my kids. You talk ugly about my children, you're talking ugly about me. I'm getting your face over it. Repent later. I'm touchy about my kids. I'm touchy about my grandchildren. God's touchy about His kids. Amen. He's a good father. The Bible says that any good thing we've learned as fathers, we got it from the similitude of God. Amen. You just don't keep pushing God's people around forever. He just will not stand for it. Thank God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. You just don't, as the Message translation said, you just don't mess with God's kids. We have signs. If you've ever been to Texas, we have road signs. It says, don't mess with Texas. And it's to try to keep the litter off the highways, you know. And the signs everywhere throughout the state of Texas, don't mess with Texas. You know, we just don't like that. We don't like our streets cluttered with litter. People throwing their trash out. You know, I've lived in the country. I'm a country boy. And I've lived out on the south side of Fort Worth in a farming community. When I bought land out there years ago, it was nothing but farmland. And I built my ministry headquarters out there. And we were the biggest thing in Crowley, Texas. Everything else around us was farmland. In fact, a couple of years ago, they changed drivers with the UPS delivery, you know. And this guy was not familiar with where we were located. And you do have to pray the Holy Ghost to find us. But anyway, he couldn't find us, so he went to Crowley Police Station. He said, y'all know where to find Jerry Savelle Ministries? We know they're in Crowley, but where are they located? And the police department said, just go down the road here, turn left, and just go out there anywhere. They own it all. I said, when I heard that, yeah, just keep saying that. I'm going to get an agreement with it, praise God. Well, we do own 200 acres out there, but it was all farmland. When we started buying it, undeveloped land, you know, and God gave us favor, praise God. And now Fort Worth is growing our way. Everything's coming our way. There's a man by the name of Ross Perot Jr., a developer, a major developer in our community, in our area. And the Perots have never developed South Fort Worth. They always buy property on North Fort Worth, between Fort Worth and Denton. They developed the Alliance Airport and all the stuff that's going on the north side of Fort Worth. That's where they developed. But Ross Perot Jr. decided one day that he needed some property on the south side, and it just happens to adjoin my property, praise God. And once he started buying out there, then other developers started buying and building. And now we've got a community that's growing there. In fact, there's some developer just recently bought property across the street from our church. They're about to build 700 new homes in there. So we've got a new mission field, praise God. Amen. But along with all this growth, people are messing with my part of Texas. I mean, my road, I used to own the road. There was nothing else on the road but me. And now there's traffic up and down our road all day, all night. You know, teenagers running up and down the road. And the other day, now, you got to understand, I've been out there by myself for about 18 years. Nothing else but us. And now I have to wait for 7 cars before I can get out of my driveway. Terrible. Terrible. And seem like every morning when I get up and get ready to go to the Bible school, there's beer bottles and trash and stuff thrown over into our ditch and our yard, you know. They're messing with Texas. You don't mess with Texas. You don't mess with me. And you don't mess with God's people. Amen. God is a loving, caring Father. And He is not going to just sit back and let the devil destroy your life without Him coming to your aid. Hallelujah. And you say, amen. God's on our side. And Paul knew this. He's the man that revealed it to us. And that's the reason he could say, I cannot lose. Now, this man went through more for the gospel's sake, more adversity, more tribulation than anybody in this room will ever go through. And yet he could say, in the midst of all of it, I cannot lose. In Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, once again from the Message translation, it says, not trouble, not hard times, none of this phases us because Jesus loves us, and absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love. Amen. He's saying, not trouble, not hard times, not bad economy. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Can you say amen? This man had a wonderful outlook on life, but it was because he knew that he was a marked man. He knew that he was marked by God, and he knew that he was highly favored by God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, he makes this statement, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I have been encouraging our church back home to take the word grace because in the Amplified Bible, most of the time when you see the word grace, particularly in the New Testament, you will see that the Amplified Bible translates it unmerited favor. Favor is a word that is synonymous with grace. It is a word that is equivalent to grace. And I've been encouraging everybody in our church so that they will become more and more favor-minded, favor-conscious, that every time you see a scripture with the word grace in it, immediately translate it favor. And suddenly, the favor of God becomes so much more real in your life. For instance, look at this scripture. How about where Paul was told by God, when that thorn in the flesh, he was dealing with that thorn in the flesh, and God said, my grace is sufficient. I translate that favor. My favor is sufficient. In other words, no matter what I come up against, the favor of God is sufficient to get me over, praise God. No matter what I go through, the favor of God is sufficient to get me through it, praise God. I like this verse. How about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 that says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now it's the throne of favor. Hallelujah. Yes. Let us come boldly to the throne of favor. For what reason? That we may obtain help and favor in a time of need. Hallelujah. I challenge you to do likewise. As you read the New Testament again, and as you come across the word grace, and also when you come across the word peace, you will find that in every letter Paul wrote, in his greeting, he begins it with grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Our grace and peace be unto you through our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find in every letter, he starts his greeting with grace and peace, and he ends the last chapter of that letter with grace and peace be unto you. It sounds like to me that he's trying to get the body of Christ to become favor-minded.
That's right.
Now, you remember a few years ago when Brother Copeland started teaching us how to, and he called it translate and meditate.
Yep.
You remember when he taught us about the word Christ?
Right.
You know, that it's not Jesus' last name, but it means the anointed one in his anointing. And I heard Brother Copeland preach that same sermon, I don't know, 6-7 years in a row. Everywhere I went with him, he was preaching on the anointed one and his anointing. Just like today, God's given him this assignment to launch a war on fear. And every sermon you hear, he's attacking fear. But a few years ago, he was assigned by God to get the body of Christ to become aware of what Christ really means. The anointed one and his anointing. Now, to this day, when I pick up my Bible and I see Christ anywhere, I immediately translate, meditate. Translate, meditate. I immediately say, Jesus Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. I mean, it's become habit with me. I want to challenge you to do the same thing with the word grace and peace. In the Amplified, the word peace is translated freedom from all fear. And so, when he says, grace and peace be unto you, what he's saying is, more favor be in your life, and as a result of it, you will be free from all fears. And probably the greatest fear that most of the body of Christ experiences is the fear of failure. But when you know that you're marked by God, and you know that you're highly favored, then the fear of failure becomes a thing of the past. Your attitude becomes that of the Apostle Paul's. I cannot lose. I cannot lose. Go ahead and tell at least two people. I cannot lose. Now tell them why. Tell them why. Because I'm marked for blessing and I'm highly favored by God. Go ahead, tell them. I cannot lose because I'm marked for blessing and I'm highly favored by God. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, we glory in tribulations. That's a powerful statement. How many Christians you know go around saying, I glory in tribulations? I've said this many times. I wish somebody'd make a movie about the life of the Apostle Paul. And if they do, I've got a suggestion who to play it. Clint Eastwood. I'd love to see Clint play the Apostle Paul. Can't you just see him saying to the devil, feeling lucky, punk? Come on, make my day. Come on, one more attack. Make my day. He said, I glory in tribulation. In the Message translation, it says, I continue to shout my praise even when I'm hemmed in with trouble. In other words, make my day. Come on, launch your best attack. When the dust settles, me and God will still be standing, praise God. Amen. Come on, give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. What the Apostle Paul is saying is there is no amount of adversity that can shut me up. You cannot stop me from praising God. You cannot stop my celebrating. No matter what kind of situation I'm in, whether I'm facing death, if I'm facing sickness or disease, if I'm facing an angry mob, the Apostle Paul's attitude was, with God's mark of blessing on my life and the favor of God on my life, I cannot lose. Hallelujah. He said in Philippians 1:28, in nothing terrified by our adversaries. The Message translation says, we don't even flinch in the slightest before our opposition. In other words, we don't even give the devil the pleasure of letting him think that we're even bothered by his attacks. Amen. I have this, boys will be boys, and my grandsons and I, we like to box and hit on one another, you know, and ever since my oldest grandson's almost 13 now, and ever since he was just a little guy, you know, we'd hit each other in the arm and punch each other and all that. And I've done this to him ever since he was a little boy. You know, I'd say, come on, Mark James, hit me hard. And boy, he'd rear back and give me his best shot, and I'd go, man, the mosquitoes are bad around here. You know, I'd do that to him. Now he's 13 and plays football, you know, and he's wanting to hit Papa all the time now, you know. And it hurts, but I still go, boy, the mosquitoes are bad around here, you know. I mean, he can punch now, you know. And I'm just acting like, you know, that don't even bother me. I'm not even going to flinch. You know, I think Jesse has a sermon called, Don't Ever Let Them See You Sweat. That's what Paul is saying. Never terrified by your adversary. Don't even let him see you sweat, praise God. When you know that you're marked and you know you're highly favored, then praise God, you cannot lose. Now, back in September, I was preaching. Brother Copeland and I were preaching in Denver. And we were doing back-to-back services, and I had just finished a morning service. And actually, I was supposed to preach that night service as well, and then Brother Copeland was going to preach the next morning. I'll take it back. I preached the morning service. He was preaching that night, then I was to preach the next morning. And I was preaching along these same lines, and the Spirit of God made this statement to it. I want to read it to you exactly the way he said it. When I got back to my hotel after that morning service, he said, as you continue to preach on the subject of favor, I will cause the spirit of favor to come on the house of everyone who will believe it and receive it.
Hallelujah.
Let me say that again. As you continue to preach on the subject of favor, I will cause the spirit of favor to come on the house of everyone who will believe it and receive it. Now, to be very honest with you, I've been preaching on the favor of God for over 30 years, 33 years. And I have never, in 33 years of preaching on the subject of favor, used the phrase, the spirit of favor. I've never heard the phrase, the spirit of favor, mentioned before. I've never heard anybody preach on the spirit of favor. Now, I've preached many times on the spirit of faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we believe, and therefore have we spoken, we having the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore speak. Well, I've preached many times on the spirit of faith. I know the Bible talks about the spirit of wisdom in Isaiah. Speaking of Jesus, said the spirit of wisdom and counsel and might would be upon him. But I've never used the phrase the spirit of favor. So when the Spirit of God said that to me, it certainly got my attention. I spent the rest of the morning, and or afternoon rather, just meditating on that. And I said, Lord, I received this, but would you show me that in the Word? I'd like to see that phrase, the spirit of favor. I've never seen it before. Never heard it. So I'm praying all afternoon about it, and then it was time to go to the service. And I got to the service, and Brother Copeland was preaching. And Brother Copeland was preaching on the subject of the double. He said, God said it's time for you and I to enter into the double, praise God. And so he told us to open our Bibles to Zechariah chapter 9. And so we opened our Bibles, and he read a scripture referring to the double. And I'm reading along there with him. And in my Bible, if I had turned to Zechariah, I could show you. But in my Bible, it was like this. Where Brother Copeland told us to read was here. And then chapter 12 of Zechariah in my Bible was down here in this column. And so I'm reading along with Brother Copeland. I listened to his comments. And then my eyes just fell over to Zechariah chapter 12. And when they did, I saw this verse. Zechariah 12:10. And it says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. I jumped out of my chair. I tell you, I'm one of Brother Copeland's best listeners. But I can't tell you another word he said after that. I saw it. I mean, there it was. The spirit of favor on a person's house. He said, I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. Let's translate and meditate. The spirit of favor on a person's house. Amen. No wonder David would later say in Psalm 41 verse 11, by this I know that you favor me because my enemy does not triumph over me. David knew the spirit of favor was on his house. And he said, because the spirit of favor is on my house, the enemy never triumphs over me. Now he didn't say the enemy never attacks me. We know David had many attacks. All you got to do is read the Bible and you'll find out that this man went through a lot of adversity. In fact, most of the Psalms are stories of adversity or songs of adversity that he wrote about. In fact, David could very well be the original country western artist. Some of those Psalms, they're all songs, aren't they, Tim? And some of them, I'm telling you, they could be a country western song. How long, O Lord? and you correct me if I'm wrong, Tim. I'm not a musician and all, but in some of the Psalms, have you ever, I know you've noticed, but for your benefit, in some of the Psalms, he will even tell the person who is going to sing that psalm what type of instrument to play. Is that correct? What type of instrument to play while singing this psalm? And I did a study one time on some of those instruments. And some of them make some sad notes. You know how sometimes when somebody's telling you a sad story and you go, you know, you bring out the violin. That's exactly what David was doing. He is saying, listen, I want you to know what I went through. Now, brother, this is a sad story. Bring out that violin. You know. And I mean, he starts some of those psalms. If you didn't know him better, you'd thought Hank Williams wrote this song. You know, Fort Worth, I mean, we are a country western town. Our nickname is Cowtown. I mean, you know, we are a cowboy country western town. I mean, when you drive down the interstate in Fort Worth and, you know, 5 out of 10 pickups says on the back with a sticker on the bumper says, have you hugged your pickup today? You know, you are in country western town. We invented redneck. You know what I'm talking about? And we got country western stations more than any other kind of station. And every once in a while, you know, they'll put a big billboard on the freeway and the country western station will advertise the hit country western song. You have heard of Billy Bob's, hadn't you? Billy Bob's, the biggest honky-tonk in the world, is in Fort Worth, Texas. I mean, Fort Worth likes its country music. I'm driving down Interstate 35 one day and saw this billboard, and it was advertising on one of the local, country western stations, and it said, tune in to whatever the station number was, and hear our latest song, our number one hit. And you know what the title was? I Gave You My Heart, You Stomped That Sucker Flat. You know. So, you read some of these psalms, and I'm telling you, David had to be the inventor of country western music. The only difference is, before the song is over, he remembers his covenant, and he turns the song around, praise God. Amen. He'll start out with, oh God, how long? How long, O Lord? Why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, if I had but wings, I'd fly away. You know. And before that psalm is over with, he's saying, you are my fortress. You are my strong tower. In my God I will trust. You know. Amen. So we know the man had trouble. We know the man had adversity. We know he had attacks. He come home one time and found his house burned to the ground. All of the homes in his city burned to the ground. And their wives and children taken into captivity. And the Bible says he sat there and he wept until he could not shed another tear. The Bible said that he was so depressed and discouraged over this. And the Bible even said that his own men were thinking about stoning him because they were blaming him for what had happened. And the Bible said he was greatly distressed. But the next verse says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do that? He remembered his covenant. He remembered, praise God, the favor of God's on my life, the favor of God's on my house. I am marked for blessing. And then he said, God, shall I pursue this troop? And God said, not only shall you pursue this troop, but you shall pursue your enemy, you shall overtake him, and you shall recover all, praise God. And that's exactly what happened. Why? The favor of God was on his house. When the favor of God's on your house, that doesn't exempt you from attacks, but it does exempt you from being defeated. Notice he was distressed. Even people who are highly favored get distressed from time to time. But they don't stay distressed. Hallelujah. They pick themselves up. They tighten their belt another notch. They shake the darts out of their shield and tell the devil it's a fight you want, a fight you're going to get. But I'm going to remind you, God's on my side. I'm marked for blessing and I'm highly favored. So you just mess with the wrong man. Hallelujah. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So, notice he says, I will pour out the spirit of favor upon the house of David and upon the house of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You say, well, that's David and that's the inhabitants of Jerusalem. What's that got to do with me? Isaiah chapter 55 verse 3 makes this statement. Incline your ear and come unto me, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What is God saying? I'll do for you what I did for David. I'll give you the same mercy, the same favor, the same kindness, the same victories that I gave David. Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible says, if you will submit yourself and consent to my divine will, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and I'll give you the mercies, the kindness, the goodwill, and the compassion that I promised to David. Hallelujah. Well, I can do that. Now I'm a candidate, praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The favor of God on our house. Now, when the Spirit of God said this to me, I immediately did a study on the word house. He said, I'll cause a spirit of favor to come on your house. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and I don't do very well pronouncing Hebrew words, but I can spell them, hallelujah. And the word house in Hebrew is spelled B-A-Y-I-T-H. B-A-Y-I-T-H. And it's pronounced Ba'yith, but that's still not, you know, pure Hebrew, okay? That's close. And the word house in Hebrew has several meanings. Number one, it means real estate. Number two, it means dwelling place. Number three, it means relationships. And number four, it means realm of influence. That's what it says. I will pour the spirit of favor out on your house. That means he's going to pour his favor out on your real estate. That means every inch of your property, every inch of your property has the favor of God on it. No thief should be able to penetrate your property. This is the same thing God did for Job. He built a hedge around him. Now, Job tore the hedge down. And I don't have time to get into that sermon, but God built a hedge around Job. Job tore it down. And then when he tore it down, Satan was able to penetrate it. But you and I have the promise of God, of the favor of God on our real estate. That means every insect comes up on your ground. If you don't like it, die. If you do like it, it'll be the fattest insect in town. Every square inch of your property, the favor of God is upon. A good illustration of this is Genesis chapter 26 with Isaac. The Bible says that there was a famine in the land. And God told Isaac, don't go to Egypt. You stay. You sojourn in the land that I tell thee of. And he told him to stay right there, even though there was a famine in that land. And the Bible says that Isaac sowed in the land. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold in the same year. And the Bible says, and the Philistines envied him. That means they had no crops. Isaac did. That means wherever Isaac's boundary was, there were crops. If you were a Philistine, you stood here and you looked up at Isaac's crops. If you went this way to his border, there was crops. Where his border ended, there were no crops. And they envied him. That means every square inch of Isaac's property had the favor of God on it. Hallelujah. God wants every square inch of our real estate to have His favor on it. That also means, since house represents real estate, that also means that you can have the best real estate and never have to pay the world's price for it, praise God, because you have favor. Amen. God's done that for me time and time again. Time and time again. God has blessed Carol and I through real estate a number of times. We're not in the real estate business. We're not real estate agents. But from time to time, the Spirit of God will just lead us to a piece of property and say, buy it. And we'll buy it. And sometimes it may be vacant. Sometimes it may have a house on it. And Carolyn has this gift of turning something that needs to be set on fire into a showpiece. I mean, she does. I mean, we bought a place one time and my attorney, he shook his head when he saw it. And he said, what in the world do you want this for? It needs a match set to it. Carolyn said, you don't see what I see. It was an old estate. And it had just been run down and not occupied for a long time. But Carolyn had a vision for it. And so we started investing in it, and Carolyn put her touch on it. And I want you to know it wasn't long. Every time God's done that for us, we have never made less than double our investment. Never less than double. Amen. Why? Because we believe the favor of God's on our house. That means it's on our real estate. Amen. I've always been blessed with at least double my investment when I sold a piece of real estate. I built a house in 1976. A beautiful home out on Eagle Mountain Lake where Brother Copeland's property is now. He wasn't living out there then. In fact, his offices were in Arlington at the time, and he lived in a more centrally located part of Fort Worth. And Carol and I bought property out at Lake Country Estates when it was just being first developed back in the early 70s. And we built a beautiful home out there, a very contemporary two-story home on the lake. And God gave us favor with the builder, and I mean, we got it for, I think something like a third of the cost, what it should have cost, and God blessed us. And we hadn't been in that house 1 year, and some guy drove up my front yard one day and said, are you interested in selling this place? I said, well, I just built it. I hadn't been in here about a year. He said, well, this is exactly what my wife and I have been looking for. Would you consider selling? I said, well, I'd consider. Make me an offer. He didn't know what I put into that house. He offered me exactly double. I said, it's sold. Hallelujah. Buy it. When do you want to move? You want it now? Go get your truck. I'll help you move in, praise God. Amen. God wants His favor on your real estate. When He pours His favor on your house, that includes your real estate. How many of you in here believe in God for real estate? Hold up your hand right now. You believe in God for real estate? All right, say this with me. In the name of Jesus. I am marked for blessing. I am highly favored. And the spirit of favor is on my house. That means my real estate is blessed by God. and highly favored. And I will have the real estate I desire. And I'll never have to pay the world's price. I'm favored in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a shout for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I will pour out the spirit of favor upon your house. That means real estate. It also means dwelling place. That means the very house you live in. The dwelling place. That means every corner of your house has the favor of God on it. When the favor of God is on your house, that means God will fill your house with treasures. Hallelujah. Carolyn and I stood on the promise. Carolyn, actually, I mean, she's in charge of the house. I own one room in that house. It's my study. Our kids never say, let's go to Daddy's house. It's Mama's house. Our grandchildren never say, let's go to Papa's house. It's Mimi's house. They come to Papa's garage. And they come to Papa's study. But I believe God for the money for it. Carolyn built it. I believe for the money. Praise God. Amen. But Carolyn started believing way back there years ago when we were living in places that, you know, just before they condemned them. And she started believing then that my house is filled with treasures. We'll have our dream house. She started drawing plans. She comes from a building family. Her father was a builder, a home builder. And she knows all this stuff. And so she started drawing plans way back there years ago. And then she'd get ideas and she'd add to the plans or, you know. And over the years, she designed her dream house. And she started confessing, when we didn't have anything, that God will fill my house with treasures. And I found a scripture one day about you'll have wells that you didn't dig. You'll have vineyards that you didn't plant. I said, God will just bless us with furniture and artwork and treasures that we didn't even have to buy. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what happened. I mean, God started blessing us. I had John Avanzini years ago when John Avanzini was pastoring a church in the San Diego area. And this was back before John knew anything about Bible economics. And I preached in his church. And after the meeting was over with, John gave me a painting. He said somebody in his church was a upstart artist and gave me this painting. And it's a beautiful painting. And he said, I just want to bless you with this painting. He said, this guy's not famous. He's just somebody in our church. But I just want to bless you with this painting. Well, about 10 years later, John said, you still got that painting? I said, yeah, I do. He said, that guy's famous now. You know what that painting's worth? I said, no. And he told me. And it was a treasure that God blessed us with. I have a friend who's an artist in South Africa and was not well known when she first started painting. But brother, she's one of the leading wildlife artists in the world. And I got some of her stuff in my house. Hallelujah. Amen. Treasures. Wells that we did not dig. Vineyards that we did not plant. We started believing God for that. The favor of God's on our dwelling place. It's also paid for. Hallelujah. Amen. When the favor of God is on your dwelling place, if you'll start confessing this, it won't take you 30 years to pay it off. Thank you for your enthusiasm over that. If you'll start confessing the favor of God is on my dwelling place, the world normally goes into 30-year loans on mortgages. You start confessing the favor of God's on my dwelling place, you'll pay it off in half that amount of time. Or less than that amount of time, praise God. Amen. Favor on your dwelling place. It also means relationships. When the favor of God's on your house, it includes relationships. That means every member of your family. Amen. When my daughters grew up and they moved out and they started their own lives, we told them the favor of God that is on us is on our seed and on our children's children, praise God. And when the Spirit of God began to reveal this to me about the spirit of favor, I reminded my daughters, girls, the spirit of favor is on you, even though you don't live in my dwelling place anymore. But you are related to me, hallelujah. And because the spirit of favor is on my house, it's on relationships that I make, glory to God. I have a message that I preach called Increase by Association. The Bible teaches us that if you walk with the wise, you will be wiser. In other words, you will increase through associations. If you associate with people in whom the favor of God seems to be manifested in a great way, then that same favor will come on you in a great way. It also works in the negative. Walk with the wise, you shall be wiser. Walk with the dumb, and thou shalt be dumber. Then they'll call you dumb and dumber. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Relationships. I tell my staff members that the same spirit of favor that's on Carol and I comes on you. Remember the Apostle Paul said to his partners in Philippi, you are partakers of my what? Grace. Favor. The same grace that was on Paul, the same favor that was on his life, was on his partners. I got good news for you. The same blessings that's on Mac and Lynn, the same favor that's on their lives, because you're in association with them through this church, it's on you. Hallelujah. That means every time they're elevated, you should be elevated. Every time they're promoted, you get a promotion. Every time God gives them a financial breakthrough, you get a financial breakthrough. Every time God blesses them in a way, that blessing ought to come on you, praise God. And association doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have dinner with a man every day. The fact that you are here, you're part of this environment, this is your company of believers, then the same spirit of favor that's on them is on you. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
And listen, I've been coming around here for a long time, and it is obvious the spirit of increase is on this ministry. How many of you remember when?
Yes.
How many of you remember the other buildings you used to be in? Well, look around. Looks like to me increase, favor, blessing is on this congregation. Hallelujah. Amen. When the spirit of favor is on your house, it's on your real estate, it's on your dwelling place, it's on your relationships, and it also means realm of influence. Realm of influence. I tell people in whom I do business with, treat me right, be honest with me, don't take advantage of me, and the same favor that's on me will come on you. You're part of my sphere of influence. Amen. I'm not asking for no preacher's discount. All I'm asking for is deal with me fairly. Treat me right. I've been, Carolyn likes Cadillacs, and I've been buying her Cadillacs for years. And there's a Cadillac place in Fort Worth, and I started buying Cadillacs for Carolyn back there years ago. And we've maintained our business relationship with them for 24 years now. Same salesman up until 2 years ago. Same salesman. 20 years. In fact, Carolyn would get ready for a new car, wanted to sell the one she had or something, and I'd just call him, and I'd say, Carolyn's ready for a new Cadillac. You know her taste. Pick one out. She'll be by there to get it. I love that kind of relationship. And I told him 22 years ago, when he was 20 years ago, I said, you treat me right. Don't take advantage of me. When my car needs servicing, do it right. You know, be honest with me. Don't take advantage of me. And you've got my business for the rest of my life. And he did. And then when he retired, you ought to have seen the salesman lining up trying to get my business. I walked in there. I didn't know he had retired. I walked in there to buy Carol a new car. And they told me, well, he's got a letter on his desk. He's about to send all of his customers and let them know that he is retiring. And they said, but we can introduce you to another salesman. You ought to have seen them jump to attention. They wanted our business. And I told that man back then, I said, the favor of God that's on me, you treat me right. Be honest with me. And that same favor will come on you, praise God. David right here was a businessman in the Carolinas and left his business and came to our Bible school and began to get a hold of these principles and learn these things and put them to work in his life. God began to do some miraculous things for he and his wife where their past debts were concerned. Because of the favor of God. He heard me teaching that there is a spiritual law on increase by association. Some of you may remember my pilot of a number of years who used to come with me all the time, Sam Douglas. Sam is not flying with me anymore. He wanted to kind of semi-retire and not have to be out as much as I traveled. So he left about 2 years ago now, I guess. When Sam came to work for me, Sam had flown for some of the largest corporations in America. I mean, made big money. Sam was type rated in 11 different jets. Any of you saw the movie Clear and Present Danger with Harrison Ford? The scene where Harrison Ford is supposed to be flying down to Columbia or something? Sam was the man who flew the airplane in that movie. I mean, he was a very highly sought after corporate pilot. Sam didn't know about airplanes, they hadn't invented yet. I mean, very sought after man.
And God sent him to me. And I told him, I said, Sam, I know, I've known Sam for years, even before he came to work for me. I said, Sam, I am not in a position to pay you what those companies paid you. But I will tell you this. If you'll listen to what I preach and get it into your life and apply it, even though you may be taking a cut in pay, I promise you, God will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Now, I paid him well. I did a research and I found out, you know, what pilots were paid in other ministries, and I know what I'd paid some of my previous pilots, and I paid him far better than most ministries paid their pilots. But it certainly was not what he was used to making. And so he left Raytheon, who he'd been flying for a number of years. He flew all over the world, trained pilots all over the world, delivered airplanes all over the world, and he left that corporation, took a cut in pay, came to work for me, got a hold of these things that I'm sharing with you right now. He heard me preach on the law of increase by association, got his whole family involved, and they started declaring the favor of God on their house and so forth. And 1 year after he'd been working for me, he called me one day and he said, Brother Jerry, today, I don't know if you know it or not, but today marks 1 year that I've been working for you. Now, this is a number of years ago. I said, well, yeah, that's right, Sam. I forgot about that. You've been with me 1 year now. He said, well, I just want you to know that if you had done a background check on me before you hired me, you probably wouldn't have hired me. I said, why? He said, you had no idea what kind of debt I had in my life. He said, even though I made big money, I was in debt to my eyeballs. He said, I owed one credit card over $100,000. He said, I don't know what it is. I've made tons of money, but it don't stick to me. I've lost more money than most people make in a lifetime. He said, but after 1 year of working with you, I just want to tell you, today I'm totally out of debt and we paid our house off yesterday. Amen. With a taking a cut in pay. I call that favor, praise God.
Yes, amen.
I call that the favor of God.
That's right.
Amen. That means my sphere of influence. That means people that you come in contact with. When you're walking in the favor of God, it would do them well to get as close to you as they possibly can. Because it'll come on them. Now, what's the purpose for all that? Why would God want the spirit of favor on our house? Why would He want the favor of God on our real estate, our dwelling place, our families, and our sphere of influence? Because it will get the attention of the non-believer. Hallelujah.
That's right.
That's the purpose. It's not just so you and I can live better. He wants us to live better. He wants us to live comfortable. He wants us to have abundance. But that's not God's primary motive. God wants the favor of God on our house, operating in our lives on a daily basis, so that it will get the attention of the world. When they can't sell property and you get double your investment, finally they're going to come to you and say, how are you doing this? When they're being laid off and you're getting raises, they're going to finally come and say, why is this always happening to you? When they try to buy real estate and can't buy it and you come in and get it for a lesser price, they're going to want to know, why does these things happen to you? And it'll make the God we serve attractive. Hallelujah. That's why God wants the spirit of favor on your house. Amen. Amen. When some neighbor walks on your property, they ought to sense there's something different about this place. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in some people's home, and brother, you talk about something different. I want out of there. Carol and I were invited to a pastor's home one time after I preached a sermon, and he wanted me to come and have dinner with him in his home, and they got in a fight while we were there. I mean, almost a knockdown drag out, and I leaned over to Carol and I said, I think it's time for us to leave. We just kind of backed out. They didn't even know we left. They were in a fight. Spirit of strife was on that place, man. You know? Carol and I almost got in a fight on the way out. Wanted out of there, man. Spirit of strife was on that place. But when you come on your property, somebody comes knocking on your door. I tell you, a Jehovah Witness get filled with the Holy Ghost when he knocks on your door, praise God. Amen. I had one show up at my lake house one time, and he come there knocking on my door. Him and his buddy rode their little bicycles up there in the little black suits, rode up to my house, you know, and I'm sitting in the den there, and I heard a knock on the door. I went to the door, and I knew who they were when I saw them. And they said, we've just come to talk to you. And I said, you guys are witnesses, aren't you? Jehovah Witnesses, aren't you? They said, yes. You know about us? I said, yeah, I know Jehovah too. You do? Yeah. And boy, in a little while, I got a little excited, went to talking in tongues. You ought to have seen bicycles riding backwards fast. I said, wait a minute. Where's my watchtower? You didn't leave my magazine. Amen. And you know, every once in a while when I'm down there, they still ride up down my street. But they know there's something on my property, so they, they just pass me by. Amen. The spirit of favor on our house. I tell you, folks, we have been living so beneath our privileges that if we could see in the spirit everything God intended for us to have, it'd make us cry how low we have lived in comparison to what God wants to do. Amen? And the spirit of favor is on our house. It's on my dwelling place. It's on my real estate. It's on my family. It's even on my dog.
Yes.
I'm telling you, our dog, we called her Faith Dog. She finally went home to be with the Lord the other day. You mean dogs go to heaven? Mine did. Praise God. We named her Faith Dog. She finally went home to be with the Lord the other day. But I'm telling you, that dog just showed up at our place about 15 years ago. Just no stray. And I love dogs. Carolyn's not a dog person. I love dogs. I grew up with dogs. And, you know, if my dog got killed, I had another one before dark. You know, and I just love dogs. And and out there in the country like we were, dogs showed up all the time. People just drop them off out there. And I don't know the number of dogs Carolyn's had hauled off, you know, that would get dropped off out there. But this one old stray dog, nothing special, just a mixed breed, you know, but she showed up looking weak and hungry, and I can't stand that. And I went out there and fed her. And Carolyn said, don't do that. You know she'll hang around if you feed her. I said, that's my intention. She said, yeah, you want a dog, and then you go all over the world, and I'm left to take care of it. You know. And so that was her logic, and it was a good point. You know. But, you know, a man wants his dog. When he's home, I don't care if it's once a week he gets to pet it. He likes to pet his dog, you know. And so we just never had dogs until this one showed up. And that dog, am I telling the truth, David? You've been around there long enough. Now. That dog should have died at least 12 times in the last 15 years. She had heartworms. Dogs don't live when they have heartworms. And they sent her down there to the vet, and he said, well, she's got heartworms. She's just a matter of time. She'll die. The whole staff laid hands on her and prayed. That veterinarian told us the next day, he said, in all the years I've been in business, I have never had a pet that I've kept overnight that had more visitors than this dog. Amen. Boy, she come out of there strong, you know, and she just pulled through everything she went through. You know, I heard Leroy Thompson at Brother Copeland's minister's convention one time said that he bought his wife. He had to buy a dog for the property they live on out there. And they had to buy an expensive dog as a watchdog. I think he said he paid $15,000 for this dog. I leaned over and told Carolyn, I said, I got one of them. That's what it's cost me to keep Faith Dog alive. You know. She was a blessed dog. That's the reason I called her Faith Dog. She was led by the Spirit to the right place. That dog never had it so good until she moved in with me, praise God. And she finally lived her life out, you know, and she's gone now. But even my dog was blessed. Everything on my property's blessed, hallelujah. The favor of God is on our house. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I dare you. As we say in Texas, a double dog dare you. Get a hold of this. Just see how far you can push it. Get up, everyone. In fact, in our church, I had a little card made for every member of our church that has a little house on the front of it. I had my art department do it. Has a little house on the front of it. And it says, the spirit of favor is on my house. And I encourage them to put it on their mirror or put it on their dashboard of their automobile. Put it someplace where it's very visible. For many people, put it on your refrigerator. Put it on the refrigerator, you know. You go there often. So you'll see it and get it down into your spirit that the spirit of favor is on this house. Amen. I don't leave my house without confessing. The spirit of favor is on my property. The spirit of favor is over on every square inch of my property. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No thief will take what I have. The spirit of favor is on my property. Now I'm going to close it with this. I have this testimony in my archives. There was a man came to one of my meetings out in California. And I was preaching along these lines. I didn't call it the spirit of favor then, but I was preaching on the favor of God and so forth. And this man, this young man, I think he was somewhere around 20 years old. He came to the meeting. I had rented the California room in the Anaheim Convention Center. He came to the meeting. And after the service that night, he went and bought the tapes. And he put them in his little MG sports car that he had bought, that he was believing God for the money to restore this little car. And so he bought these tapes and he went outside and he was going to put that tape in and listen to it again on the way home. When he got outside in the parking lot, somebody had stolen his little MG. It was gone. However, he had the tapes of the previous night's messages in the car. And so a few weeks later, he gets a letter. You know, he had his ID in the car, you know, insurance papers and all. So he gets a letter. And in this letter, the person who wrote it says, "Dear," and called him by his name, "I am the man who stole your car." He said, "And not only that, I began listening to the tapes that I found in that car. And I've been born again." Now listen to this. He said, "No, obviously I cannot tell you my name." He said, "But I just want you to know that I want to give you your car back." He said, "I intended to, when I stole it, I was going to remove the number so it couldn't be checked out and identified, and I was going to paint it and redo it and sell it." He said, "I just want you to know where your car is located, where you can find it." He said, "You won't recognize it because it's been totally restored." Amen. I mean, the guy stole the car, got born again, restored it, and gave the guy back his car. Amen. And that guy said, "Brother Jerry, it's true. What's on you came on me. Hallelujah." Amen. How many testimonies you ever heard like that? I believe God wants to do extraordinary things in our lives. Things that people have never heard of before. If we just dare believe that we're marked for blessing and the spirit of favor is on our house. Can you say amen? Come on, let's stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise for it. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you tonight. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we thank you that you have marked us for blessing. You have caused your favor to be upon our house. And we declare with the same attitude of the Apostle Paul, we cannot lose. We may come under attack, but we cannot lose. We may have trials, but we cannot lose. We may have challenges, but we cannot lose. We may experience setbacks, but we will not fail. We are highly favored by God. And Father, I pray that every person within the sound of my voice catches the reality of this truth. I pray over each and every one of them. I declare the spirit of favor is on their house, on their real estate, on their dwelling place, on every member of their family, on their relationships, on their sphere of influence. And I believe from this moment forward, they'll begin to experience more and more manifestations of your favor in their life like they've never experienced before. And they'll be able to declare that the favor of God is surely on my house. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord one more shout.